It's kind of a unassigned Sunday, so I get to talk about what I feel like I should talk about and what God's leading me to talk about. And this morning, I wanted to kind of open up with a bit of a confession to you. I wanted to talk about something that I have kind of been, for the last few months, going through a bit of my own kind of personal struggle in this. And probably you probably have gone through the same kind of struggle at some point in your Christian walk, and that is struggling to hear from the Lord. I just go through kind of these cycles of where, you know, things in my relationship with the Lord kind of personally kind of seem to ebb and flow. I have times where I feel particularly close to the Lord, and then times where I feel a little more distant and I struggle to hear Him talking to me. One of the songs that we just sang, one of the verses open with the line, "When darkness seems to hide His face." And I have times in my own life where, whether it's personal darkness or the actual darkness of wintertime, maybe, I don't know what it is, but I have times where the face of the Lord feels hidden from me. And so it's something that I've been wrestling with. How does God speak to us, and how do we hear His voice? And so that's the topic. Today is more of a topical sermon. We will look at Scripture, but that's kind of the topic that I want us to think about this morning. How does God speak to us, and how can we as His people hear His voice? In John chapter 10, the Scriptures, Jesus said this. The Pharisees had gathered together, and they were asking Jesus to declare in John chapter 10. They were asking Him. They came out and they asked Him point blank, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" And Jesus answered them this way. He said, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness to me, but you do not believe because you're not a part of my flock." Then He says in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So obviously the implication in this passage is that Jesus speaks to His sheep, and His sheep can hear Him. And I wanted us to look at some of the ways that Jesus speaks to His sheep. Again, this is a personal struggle that I think we all go through. If we are God's people, we want to hear God's voice. We want to be guided and directed by Him, and we want to make sure that we are hearing clearly from the Lord. And this is important for every one of us, but it's important for us as a collective church body as well. We want to be a church that is hearing from the Lord, that's doing what God wants us to do to fulfill the mission of our church. And there are a lot of things that we as a church are wrestling with as well. Just Tuesday night, the elders had a meeting to talk about whether we'll be able to continue to use this building or not. And we want to be hearing from God in that decision. We have a period of reflection every year where we talk about our vision and what we believe God's called us to do as a church, and what What are the things that we wrestle with that? What are the things that we need to continue to do? What are the things that we need to let go? All of those things. What ministries do we support? And in all of those things, in our mission and our vision and our strategy, and all of those things, we want to make sure that we as a church are hearing from God. And as church leaders, I know that the elders want all of you as individuals to be hearing from God. We want you to know that whatever it is that God's put before you to do, that that is God's will, that whatever you're struggling with, that He has a purpose in that. We just want to be a church that is hearing from God. That's what a disciple of Jesus is. It is a person who hears His voice and follows Him. And that's what we want to be. We want to be good disciples of our Lord. So, this morning I wanted us to look at a number of ways that God speaks to His church and that He speaks to us as individuals. Now, before I go too far into this, I want to say, like, these are not my ideas. I'm just going to tell you, I'm plagiarizing my sermon. If you've ever had an Alpha course, Alpha course lesson 7 is, how does God guide His people in His church? And I'm completely stealing my sermon. So don't go download something on the internet and say, Jody stole it, because I'm telling you, I stole it. But just because I stole it doesn't mean we don't need to hear it. Amen. So there you go. So how does God speak to His church? So I want to talk about 4 ways that God speaks to us and God guides us, and ways that we can hear God's voice. And the first and the most obvious way is through the Scripture. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we're all familiar with that verse. It says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And the Bible is so important to us because it is God's word to us. That it is breathed out by God. In other words, it is God speaking to His people in His Scriptures. And in the Scriptures, God tells us how He wants us to live and how He wants us to have a relationship with Him. And then as well, He explains to us how we are to relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourselves. And God's word, the Scriptures, is the place where He tells us how to do that. Now, the Scripture is God's ultimate authority, and it is the measure by which we confirm that God is indeed speaking to us. In other words, God doesn't contradict Himself. So God's never going to tell us to do anything that's contradictory to what He's already told us in His Word. God commands us to test the spirits. In other words, He commands us to, if we think that we are hearing a word from the Lord, He commands us to confirm that, to test it against what the Scriptures say. And so the primary way that God speaks to us is through His Word. Now, then if that is the case, then what then is the application for us? And this is hugely important. If the Scriptures are the primary way that God speaks to us, if the Scriptures are His Word, and if we want then to hear God's voice, then that means that you and I need to spend time in the Word. And very simply, I want to ask you that question today. If you are struggling, if you feel like you are struggling to hear from God, then I want to ask you, are you spending time in God's Word? Now, I'm not trying to guilt anyone. We talk about that. But the truth is that we need to be spending time in God's Word as a church. I so appreciate when James stood up to preach a couple weeks ago before he stood up to preach the Scriptures. He explained that we are a church that believes in the Scriptures, that this is an important part of what we do, is preaching and teaching the Scriptures, because that is one of the ways in which God speaks to us in His church. And I want to challenge you that if you're not spending time in God's Word, then what you are doing is you are cutting yourself off from Him communicating to you. So that's the first way that God speaks to us, is through His Word in the Scriptures. So how else does God speak to us? The second way that God speaks to us is through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, flip over to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, it says this: "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In other words, God has given us His Spirit so that you and I can know the mind of God. That is amazing that you and I have God's Spirit indwelling inside of us if we are in Christ. And through that Spirit, you and I can know the mind of God, that we can understand Him, that we can be guided in our life by His purpose for us. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Mind-blowing that God has given us His Spirit. In Acts chapter 20, Paul told the Ephesian elders that he was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. If you remember, when Paul went back to Jerusalem, he was eventually going to be arrested and thrown in prison and taken off to Rome, most likely to have been executed there. We don't know that for sure. But all of the elders in the Ephesian church were trying to talk Paul out of doing that, because they knew that it was likely going to lead to his death if he went. But he went to Jerusalem compelled by the Spirit. So that even when everyone around him was telling him that this was not something that he should do, he went because the Holy Spirit had commanded him to do it. So that leads us to a question, and that is, how do we know that God's Spirit is speaking to us when we feel compelled to do something? How do we know that that's God's Spirit? How do we know that that Spirit is coming from the Holy Spirit and not from somewhere else? Because the Scriptures, as I said, do tell us that we are to test the spirits. So how do we do that? 1 John 4 says that we're not to believe every spirit. So how do we ensure that they are coming from the Lord? I want to give you a couple of questions that we might ask ourselves. And the first we've already covered, and that is it in line with the Scriptures? You know, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is not going to lead you in a way that's contradictory to what he's already said. God cannot contradict himself. So is it in line with the Scriptures? But then secondly is, does it lead us towards love? The Bible says that God is love, and that any spirit that is from God will lead us into love for him or love for our neighbors. That's what God's commanded us to do. Another question you might ask is it strengthening to our soul? Is this spirit leading us in a way that brings us closer to the Lord? And then finally, does it put us at peace? Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts." And so if we are prayerfully listening to God's Spirit, then we should be at peace with whatever decision we feel the Spirit's led us to make. And a lot of times I found that if I'm trying to make a decision on something and I'm seeking God's will, and that if I continue to feel uneasy about it, then perhaps that's not in line with the Spirit. When Paul went back to Jerusalem, he knew that it was going to lead to his arrest and execution and all of that. But Paul knew that he was walking in the Spirit, and he was at complete peace with that. Can you and I say that we have that same peace in our life, that we know that we're walking in tune with God's Spirit? And are we at peace with the decisions that we make? Are we in tune with God's Spirit? Do we allow ourselves to be compelled by His Spirit? The truth is that we have to cultivate a relationship with the Spirit. And we do that by taking time and putting forth the effort to make sure that we are hearing from God. Our relationship with God through the Spirit is like any other relationship, and we need to nurture that relationship. We have to put effort into it. And so again, I want to challenge you. Are you taking time to listen to God's Spirit? Are you taking time to reflect and to hear from God? You know, quite honestly, sometimes we need to be quiet long enough to hear from God's Spirit. In James 1:19, it says that everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And sometimes that's true in our interaction with God through the Spirit. Sometimes I'm going to throw my kids under the bus, and I'm sorry. But sometimes my children don't want to listen. And I'm sure that that's true for all of you. What? And usually when they don't want to listen, do you know what they do? They start talking. you know, if I've told them, you know, listen, but they don't want to listen, then, and I have to tell them, I stop and I say, I said, listen, you don't listen with your mouth. I've told my kids that a lot. Sometimes what I'm getting at is that sometimes in our relationship with God, what we want to do is we want to tell God our plans. And sometimes God wants us to be quiet and hear what he wants us to do. And again, I just want to challenge us all. Are we taking the time to listen? Or are we just continually telling God what our wishes are? That's important for us as a church and for us as individuals. So that's the second way that God guides us and speaks to us. And the third way that God speaks to us is through the community of the church. You know, what is church? You ask people that, and a lot of times, well, people say, well, the church is this building that I go to. But that's not what a church is. The church, the word church, comes from the Greek word body or assembly. It is, in other words, the church is the collective body of God's people who are gathered together for the purpose of hearing the good news of the gospel from God. And then through Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, carrying out God's mission to the world, which is to declare that gospel to the world. That's what the church is. It is the community of God, which he has gathered together for the purpose of hearing from God. And so naturally, logic would tell us that God speaks to us through his church. So how does he do that? Well, one way is he speaks through the preaching and teaching of God's word. And that's why it's so important when James stood up to preach a couple of weeks ago. And before he preached, he reminded us that preaching is hugely important because it is how we hear God's Spirit speaking to us through the preaching of the word. But secondly, God speaks to us in church through our relationship with one another. And that's hugely important. The church is made up of everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, and child that has come to know Jesus as their Savior is a part of the community that makes up the church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Where that means that we are called to encourage one another, to pick one another up, to help provide one another's needs, and every person is important in that. The Bible tells us that the church is the body of Christ, and that we as individuals make up the organs of that body. And so we all have an important part to play in that. And God speaks to us through the life of the church as we live in community with one another, as we love and support one another. And when our relationships in church are healthy, it is a reflection of Christ's love for us. And it's because of those relationships that we have that we are rooted together in Christ's love for us. In 1 John 4:11-12, it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." It's through our love for one another that we see tangibly and we experience God's love for us. God communicates that love through our love for one another. And that makes it hugely important that we not isolate ourselves. And my first tendency when I go through struggle is to struggle on my own. And I think that's probably the tendency for a lot of us, is that when we're going through a difficult time, is to just kind of feel like no one else can relate to that, and that it's a struggle. And so we just kind of isolate ourselves. But we can't do that, because God communicates love through community. And it says we in love and encourage one another as we bear one another's burdens and help and support one another. And as we sacrifice for one another. The Bible says we're to think of others as more important than ourselves. That's what he's called us to do. And as we do that, then Christ speaks to us through that. So that's the third way. And finally, the fourth way, how does God guide us? How does God direct us and speak to us? And the fourth way is through common sense. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, it says, "The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." When I was a boy, I lived next door to my grandparents. And a lot of times when I would do something that was really stupid, or I would get in trouble, or I get caught doing something that I wasn't supposed to do, my grandmother would say to me, "You know, God gave you a brain, you should use it." And the truth is, God gives us all common sense in order to navigate this world and make good decisions. And it's the ability to use our brains and to think critically and to think through situations and to make decisions that are good for us. So who does God give common sense to? Who does he give wisdom to? Well, he says in that verse, he gives it to the upright. He gives it to those who walk with integrity. He gives it to his people. In other words, God gives wisdom to people who have a relationship with him. God watches over the ways of his saints. In other words, God gives us a brain and we should use it. So what can we see this morning is that God communicates with us in a number of different ways. God still talks to us. God still communicates with us. He guides us. Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. God speaks to us and he wants us to hear from him. And so the final thing I want us to think about this morning is that is, what is it that God wants us to hear? You know, if his sheep hear him and they follow his voice, if God speaks to us, then what is it that he wants us to know? And what I believe is that above all else, what God wants each and every one of us here today to know is how much he loves us. Above all else, he wants every person here to know that he loves us. In fact, he wants every person here to know that he loves us so much that he has provided us a way out of the mess in which we find ourselves. That he has provided us a way that each and every one of us can be saved from our sin and be adopted as his sons and daughters. That is the most important thing that Jesus wants us to know. God wants us to know that every person here, that he loves them so much that he gave his only son, Jesus. And that if we believe in him, that we can be forgiven. He wants us, if we have not previously known that, he wants us to know it for the first time. And if we have known it for a while, he wants us to be reminded of it. That he loves us and that he gave his son so that we could be forgiven. God wants us to know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. He wants us to know that if we look to Christ in faith, then we can be born again and have eternal life as his children. That's the message of the scriptures. That is the message that God gives us through his Spirit. That is the message that we proclaim in the church. And the last question is this, is do you have the sense to believe? That's what God wants of us, is to believe his promise to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. Jesus said that his sheep will hear his voice. And Lord, we thank you so much that you continue to speak to us through your word and by your Spirit and through the message that is proclaimed through your church. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us an intellect, that you have given us sense. And Lord, the truth is that there are so many ideas in this world that are just complete and total rubbish and make no sense at all. And Lord, I pray that in the midst of all that rubbish and all of that darkness, that your people would hear your voice and follow you. That we would hear that you love us and that you care for us and that you provide for us. And Lord, may we always be a church and be people who are hearing from you. Again, we love you and we thank you. And we thank you for your grace and your love and your compassion. And Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.